Welcome to Tairat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rifka Simonson, and today we will be studying Yahushua Perek Beis Chapter 2. This perek features the spy mission that takes place as we are about to enter the land of Israel 40 years since leaving Mitzrayim. It unravels the threads sewn into the tapestry of our history with the original spy mission, when Moshe sent a delegation of 12 spies into the land destined to belong to the Jewish people, which ended in the devastation of denied entry into the land for another approximately 38 years. Fast forward now to 40 years after redemption from Mitzrayim, when it is time for Bnei Israel to finally enter the land. Our recently appointed leader, Yahushua, sends two spies, Kalev and Pinchas, to scout out Yericho and the land before they enter to conquer it. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayishlach Yahushua ben Nun min hashitim shnayim anashim meraglim cheresh lemar, Lechu re'u es ha'aretz ve'es Yericho, vayelchu vayavoyu beis isha zoyna ushma rachav vayishkavu shoma. And Yahushua, the son of Nun, sent two men, spies, out of Shittim secretly, saying, Go, see the land and Yericho. And they went, and came to the house of an Isha Zoyna, whose name was Rachav, and they stayed there. The spies come to the house of Rachav, who is described in the Pasuk as an Isha Zoyna, which means an innkeeper, according to Rashi, but it's also to be understood in its literal sense, says Radak, Zoyna Mamash. It means that she was also literally a Zoyna, a harlot. And, as Rashi teaches, she had led a life of severe immorality from the tender age of 10 until now at age 50. Rachav was afforded a place in Torah. The Gemara in Megillah 15a tells us that she was one of the four most beautiful women in the world. And the Gemara tells us in Megillah 14b that she later converted to Judaism and merited to marry our great leader Yahushua. And Shmoina Nevi'im v'hem koyhanim yatsu me'rachav hazoina. She merited to have 8 Nevi'im, who were koyhanim, descend from her. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Vayeomar le'melech Yericho le'mar. Hine anashim ba'u hina ha'layla mi'bnei Yisrael lechpar es ha'aretz. The king of Yericho is told that men from the Jewish people have come that night to spy out the land. Verse 3. Vayishlach melech Yericho el Rachav le'mar. Hoitzi'i ha'anashim ha'ba'im eilayich, asher ba'u leveseich, ki lachpar es kol ha'aretz ba'u. And the king of Yericho sent to Rachav, saying, Bring forth the men who have come to you, that have entered your house, for they have come to search out the entire land. Verse 4, Vatikach ha'isha es shnei ha'anashim vatitzpanoi. Vatoimer kein ba'u eilay ha'anashim. V'lo yadati me'ayin hemo. The woman had taken the two men and had hidden them. And she said, Indeed, the men came to me. But I did not know from where they were. When the king's officials come knocking on Rachav's door in search of the spies, having hidden them in her roof, she is faced with making a life-changing decision. She continues in verse 5, saying, Vayihi, Hasha'ar lisgar b'choshech v'ha'anashim yotza'u, lo yodati ana ha'alcho ha'anashim, rudfu maherach areihem kisasigom, And it was time to close the gate, the city gate, at dark, and the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Chase after them quickly so you will overtake them. Rachav chooses to risk her life to save two strangers, and she lies to the king's officials. Rashi points out that in verse 4, the text says, Vatitzpanoi, she hid him. There were two spies. Why does the text say she hid him in the singular form? One answer Rashi gives, based on Medrash Tanchuma, is that Rachav only hid one of the spies, but not Pinchas the Kohen, who was like an angel. Being the holiest, most righteous people, their spiritual overpowered their physical, giving them the power to render themselves invisible, such people as Pinchas. When the physical is so subservient to the spiritual, it's as if the physical doesn't even exist independently. Physicality only serves as a vehicle for following the soul's desires, the will of Hashem. Continuing in the story, Rachav has hidden the spies with stalks of flax on the roof and the officials pursue the spies in the direction of the Yardin. And when the pursuers go out of the city, the gatekeepers close the city gate behind them. Before the spies are asleep, Rachav approaches them, explaining that she saved them because she realizes that their God is the true king. She references the miracle of the splitting of the Yam Suf and states that the hearts of the inhabitants of the land have melted, having heard of the miracles performed by Hashem for the Jewish people. She then proceeds to make an incredible declaration that there's no other God in both the heavens above and on the earth below. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Ki Hashem Elokeichem, because Hashem your God, Hu Elokim, He is God. Bashamayim mima'al ve'al ha'aretz mitachas, in heaven above and on the earth below. Her words that are now echoed in the Aleinu prayer, composed by Yehoshua, that we recite daily. She asks the men to spare her family when they will come to conquer Yericho, which the spies agree to, stipulating that she must not tell of this to others. She lowers the men on a rope through the window to allow them to leave the city. Verse 15. She lowered them by a rope through the window, because her house was in the city wall, and she dwelt in the wall. Says Rashi, this was the same rope and window that was used by customers for immoral activity to enter and exit the building. She turns to Hashem at this moment and she says, Master of the world, with these, the rope and window, I sinned. And with these, the rope and window, please forgive me. As she uses them this time to save two righteous individuals, the window and rope become symbols of teshuvah, returning to one's spiritual core, making a change for the good. Rachav turned her life around after 40 years of immorality. Verse 16, Vatoimer lahem hahara lechu pen yifku'u vachem haroidfim, v'nachbisem shama shleishes yomim ad shoiv haroidfim v'achar telchu ladarkechem. And she said to them, go to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers return, and afterwards you will go your way. The spies tell Rachav to gather her family into her home to keep them safe when the Jewish people will come to conquer the city, and they instruct her to tie a scarlet thread in her window to identify her home, so that no one should touch it at the time of the attack. Verse 18, Hinei, Anachnu boim ba'aretz, es tikvas chut hashoni hazeh tikshri b'chalein, asher horadateinu voy. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window by which you let us down. So Rachav has to keep this deal private. She has to have her family inside her home at the time of the conquering, and she has to tie the scarlet thread in her window identifying her home. The red string that Rachav hangs out of her window is referred to in the posuk as the tikvas chut hashoni, the line of scarlet thread. Notice the use of the word tikva, hope. In Esh Eschayil, which we sing on Erev Shabbos, we say, Lo sira levesa mishaleg, ki chol besa lavush shonim. She fears not snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet wool. The Midrash applies this posuk from Mishlei to Rachav, who needed not fear because she had scarlet wool hanging from her window, a symbol of faith, a symbol of hope. Verse 21, Vatoimer, Kedivreichem kenhu, Vatashalchem vayelechu, Vatikshar es tikvas hashoni b'chalein. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. The spies go to the mountain, stay there 3 days until the pursuers return, not having found them. The spies then descend from the mountain, cross the Yordain, return to Yehoshua and tell him about all that happened. We see in verse 24 a confident report. Vayomru el Yehoshua ki nosan Hashem b'yodeinu es kol ha'aretz, v'gam nomoygu kol yoshvi ha'aretz mipono. Miponenu. And they said to Yehoshua, for Hashem has delivered into our hands all the land, and also the inhabitants of the country have melted away because of us. Yehoshua's spies in this perek represent a focus on the true goal. The Pasuk tells us, verse 1, Yehoshua sent Shnei Manashim Meraglim Cheresh, two men, spies, Cheresh, meaning in secret. Says Rashi, read it not as Cheresh, but as Cheres, meaning pottery. The spies went under the disguise of being sellers of pottery, and the symbolism of pottery reflects their approach. The Chidushei Harim notes that other materials, such as copper, wood, become spiritually impure once something impure touches either the inside or the outside of the vessel. But with pottery, the only way it becomes spiritually impure is if the impure source makes contact with the inside of the pot. So the inside is the key. With other materials, the vessels themselves have importance, even if they do not contain anything, because the material of the vessel itself has value. But a vessel that is made of pottery is from dust and water. So the material itself is not of value. Its value is in its ability to contain something. Its function as a vessel is its only worth. Therefore, pottery is only affected in terms of spiritual contamination if the inside of the vessel is touched by the impure source. Yehoshua's spies went as sellers of pottery. They acted like vessels of pottery. The focus on Yehoshua's spies was the inner. It was about doing a mission wholeheartedly for the purpose it was intended. They weren't seeking honor. They just wanted to do God's will. Therefore, this spy delegation was successful. Thank you for studying together. Le'elui Nishmas, Frida Basmaisha Eliyahu.